So we were discussing Joshua, and we had reached the year of Moshe's passing. The year is 2,488 years after creation. Moshe Rabbeinu has passed away. We have entered the land of Israel. We're standing opposite Jericho. The Medrash says there are three keys to the land of Israel. One of the spiritual keys to taking hold of the land of Israel is Jericho. That's the first key. And Joshua is standing outside Jericho, and Yoshua sees the wall of Jericho. Now, the wall of Jericho was as wide as it was tall. So it was so wide that you actually had houses built into the wall. The stones were so wide. It was impenetrable. And Yoshua is standing looking at the city, and suddenly he sees a man. And the man is standing there, and his sword is drawn. And so Yoshua approaches him, and he says, "Are you from our men, or are you from the enemy?" And he says, "Neither. I am the angel of Hashem, and I was sent to help your Rebbe, Moshe, in leading the Jewish people and conquering the land of Israel." And Moshe refused. Moshe said, "Hashem, I only want you. I want no angels. But now I've come back. I'll help you conquer the land of Israel." So Hashem tells Yoshua, we are now holding in the first of the month of Iyar. Hashem tells Yoshua, "Get up, you will take down Jericho." And we know the story. We sent the spies, we got word, we then attacked. Hashem made a miracle after 7 days going around Jericho, blowing the shofar once every day. And then on Shabbos, they went around seven times, and then they blew, and the wall got buried. The wall didn't actually fall because it had nowhere to fall. If it would have fallen over, it was as high as it was wide. It actually got swallowed into the ground. And they conquered the city of Jericho and destroyed it. And because they did it on Shabbos, they made a pact. We won't benefit from the war we had on Shabbos. And Hashem didn't tell them to do that. This was, in fact, a mistake. And there was a man from the tribe of Yehuda named Achan. Achan in Hebrew means, Achan is a snake. There's a type of snake called Achna. So this man's name was Achan, snake. And every time we went to war and we made a pact, we would derive no benefit from that battle. We had done this in Moshe Rabbeinu's time as well. He stole. Every time he took some and pocketed it and brought home some loot, and his family knew about it, and his neighbors knew about it, and everyone kept quiet. And that's why the Jewish people were held accountable, because everyone knew about it. People knew about it, and they weren't going to talk about it. Now, when we were standing opposite the Jordan, we will read in the parsha in a few weeks how Moshe tells the Jewish people, when you enter the land of Israel, you are responsible for one another. You cannot turn a blind eye when your neighbor transgresses and says, "I will go against the Torah." There is mutual responsibility. And that's why the previous times when Achan stole from the loot, no one else was held accountable. But this time, we're all held accountable because people knew about it. And that's why when we went to war the next time against a small city, the city of Ai, we lost 36 men because we were all held accountable for turning a blind eye. And then Moshe turns to Hashem and says, "Tell me, well, how are we ever going to stand up to war? Your name is desecrated. Our reputation is destroyed. What's going to happen now? How could we lose a war? Hashem, you run everything. So how could we lose a war?" And Yoshua is devastated. He fasts and he mourns till the nightfall. And Hashem says, "Get up. It's your fault. Who asked you to dedicate the loot of Jericho? Why'd you have to make another prohibition on the people? You caused them to stumble. And someone stole." So Yoshua asks Hashem, "Who stole?" So did we learn the Talmud and Tractate Sanhedrin about this story? Yeshua asks Hashem, "Who stole from the loot?" And Hashem tells him, "V'chidilatura anilach." You think I'm going to go and tell on other people? I'm going to tell you who stole? You go figure it out. You draw lots. You do other ways. You find out who stole. So this concept that Hashem says, "I will not openly, overtly reveal who did something wrong," that concept teaches us a concept that was applied throughout the generations. So we'll go off on a tangent for a minute. It's a very nice tangent. The Talmud in Tractate Sanhedrin says the following story. They were sitting and learning, and it was time to dedicate the new moon and decide whether it would be a leap year. When they would decide if it would be a leap year, they would take seven designated students to go up into an attic and sit down day and night over the mathematical calculations and the sociological calculations to decide whether they were to make that year a leap year. And they designated seven students. They came up to the attic and they took a count, and there were eight. So the rabbi said, "Who came uninvited? Please step down." So there was a rabbi there named Shmuel. And Shmuel was actually invited, but he didn't want someone else to be embarrassed. So he said, "I came uninvited. I didn't come to partake of the court. I just came to learn. I came to observe. If that's okay, if not, I'll step down." So his Rebbe said, "Oh, okay, you are worthy of being a part of this court every time, and you stay up here." And from that day onward, he was given the nickname Shmuel HaKatan. Shmuel, who minimized himself, because in order to ensure that other people wouldn't be embarrassed, Shmuel stood up and said, I'm the one who was the extra. So, let's find where it is here. Give me a second. Here we go. So Rabban Gamliel told Shmuel, stay up here. Our sages say, this story is similar to the story of Rebbe. Rebbe was teaching a class and he smelled garlic. So he said, "Who came to class after eating garlic? That's not nice. Please step out." And his top student, who was actually his contemporary, there was a discussion who should be the chief rabbi, Rebbe or Rebbe Chiya. And the rabbis decided that because Rebbe Chiya was involved in Jewish education, he was educating children, they wouldn't give him the leadership position because they wanted him to continue educating Jewish children. That's how important it is to be an educator. So Rebbe Chiya, who was his top student, Rebbe Chiya got up and walked out. So when he walked out, all the students understood that Rebbe Chiya didn't want to embarrass the guy who had eaten garlic. Everyone got up and walked out, and with that, class was adjourned. The next morning, Rebbe's son, Rebbe Shimon, meets Rebbe Chiya. He says to him, "You're the fellow who had the nerve to walk into class after eating garlic and made the class stink and pain my father?" So he says to him, "No, God forbid, I wouldn't do that. That's not nice. Why would I eat garlic and then come to class? But I didn't want someone else to be embarrassed." How did Rebbe Chiya know this idea? He knew it from Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Meir was teaching class, and suddenly a woman walked in and said, "One of your students slept with me and said that he's engaging me for marriage. I don't know who." She wasn't such a fine woman, was she? But she says, "I'm married to one of your students." So Rebbe Meir took out a piece of parchment and wrote a divorce contract. He said, "Here, I'm giving you a divorce contract. You should be free to marry anyone else." And his students understood that he was doing it so as not to embarrass the student who had done it. So every student who was present went and wrote her a divorce contract, so that way no one had to know who was the one who was improper. How did Rebbe Meir know this idea? He learned it from Shmuel, the story we said before. How did Shmuel know it? He knew it from the story of Shechaniah ben Yechiel. It says in the book of Ezra that when we went to rebuild the second temple, Shechaniah ben Yechiel came to Ezra and he said, "We have been very improper. We married non-Jewish women. Help us out." He didn't marry a non-Jewish woman, but his compadres did. So he didn't want to embarrass other people. He said, "We have been improper." He didn't want to embarrass anyone else. How did Shechaniah ben Yechiel know this idea? He learned it from what we just learned, from Yoshua. Because when Yoshua turned to Hashem and said, "Tell me who stole," Hashem said, "I'm not going to embarrass a person directly and say he did something wrong. You go figure it out." So this is the concept. We learned today the story of Shmuel HaKatan. We learned the story of Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi's Beis Medrash. We learned the story of Rabbi Meir, who wrote the divorce contract. We learned the story of Shechaniah ben Yechiel, who spoke about it as though they had all misbehaved in marrying non-Jewish women. And all of this is derived from the story of Hashem, who tells Yoshua, "I won't single out the person who did something wrong."